Morning.
Good morning.
Let's take a moment. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is all as well. This is a come as you are party. Wherever you are at, not only on your spiritual path, but wherever you're at with yourself, your journey, or how you're feeling or how you're not feeling, or whether you're feeling the way you want to feel or not feeling the way you want to feel, you're welcome here. What I'd like you to be, what I'd suggest you be, all of us be aware of this morning is as we go through whatever we go through, is to be aware of any patterns of thought or behavior that you become aware of this morning or any other time for that matter that no longer serve you, but that perhaps somehow or another you still realize you're stuck with, not stuck with so much, but that you you sort of take them in as being true. And of course, if they're true, then you need to do them, right? You need to act that way, you need to respond that way. I was reading over this material this morning. I don't want to get into too much of my story because I do that too much, I'm sure. But one of the patterns that I really didn't even think of this as a pattern. I was thinking to myself, and I describe myself as somebody who is prone to periods of depression. And they can come on without any warning and without any particular reason of just feel like somebody stuck a pin in the balloon. And it just gets deflated and I get deflated and I realize that I'm in a down place. And even though I realize I'm there and I pray about it and I do all of the things I'm supposed to be doing about it, it certainly doesn't change as quickly as I would like it to. So I can remind myself a whole lot that I'm a divine child of God and that I know who I am and I know what I am and I know how I serve. And you know, and then I check in again. Oops, still there. What I realized was this, and I hope this makes sense to all of you, because it's not just for me, is as long as I keep describing myself that way, as long as I keep looking at that as being a truth about me, that I'm a person who's prone to depression, then I'm going to keep creating that. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, I'm just suggesting that you might find some of those in your life. I mean, that might be one you identify with, but there might be a couple of others or some others that might just pop into your mind, ways that you normally or naturally describe yourself. This is again, we don't do this definitively. I don't nail this on the wall. I'm not kind of Martin Luther putting my things on the church wall, okay? But they're so deeply ingrained assumptions we make about ourselves that we hardly become aware of them at all except to recognize them as most likely being true. And of course, if we recognize them or think about them as being true, then we never question them. We just say, I am the last person in the world who wants to picture himself as saying, oh, well, that's just the way I am. Because I realize on my path that's kind of almost the kiss of death, right? That means it would be like remember Leo Biscaglia one time said, you know, he said, look, the only thing that would want me or push me into a state of depression or wanting me to take my life would be if you suggested to me that I can no longer change anything about myself.
What was that again?
The only thing that would push me into depression or wanting me to take my life is to tell me that I can't change anything about myself anymore. And yet, the reason why I mention that is if we accept a pattern of thought or a pattern of behavior, like I'm a person who's prone to depression, as being the truth, then what I'm doing is I'm not giving myself the breathing room to allow that to change. In other words, it sort of even bypasses my awareness. It just sits there, and it stays there as being my truth without me even recognizing that. So what we're doing here is we talk about standing or sitting on the precipice, all right, is being aware that there are some things about us, obviously there are some things about me that I want to change. And I would like to change. But there, and that's perfectly okay because I want to work on those things. But there's a whole other subtle reality of ways that I have pictured or defined myself or continue to define myself that are patterns of thought and behavior that I have accepted as being true and therefore never question them. I mean, even going so far as saying, well, I'm a pilgrim on a spiritual search, which is really nice. I could make a little banner about that and stick it in my bedroom and say, isn't that wonderful? But you know, even that is a limiting sense or set of behaviors. Now, one of the reasons why I feel like this work is so important is that we get into saying, I know who I am. Oh. Now, it doesn't say, well, I know who I am and here's what I am. Then it goes all these, there's a whole bunch of labels to describe you and me. It goes beyond that. It's expressing the truth of who you are and learning to be, I mean, obviously my understanding of that is going to continue to evolve. See, that's another, that little bit of a paradoxical piece here. I know who I am. Well, how I know who I am today is probably going to evolve 5 minutes from now. At least I hope it's going to. So I'm not even trying to define myself in terms of my perception. My perception by its very nature is a limitation. But if I understand that that's the way my mind works, and what I'm going to do today is I'm going to allow my perception to stretch, to grow, to be stretched. Are you willing to be stretched? Is your intention to be stretched? Not to be attached to my perception even today, even as wonderful as it might be, that my perception of myself is still a limitation. Because is your perception of yourself today the same as it was yesterday? Probably not, if you look at it closely enough. Okay. Yes.
You reminded me. I remember reading Edgar Cayce a long time ago, and someone asked him the question, which is the most influence on a soul or a body or whatever? Is it heredity or environment? So before I looked at the answer, I thought about it, and I don't remember now what my answer was. But his answer was will, W-I-L-L. And at that point I said, oh, that's right, it's me. It's not my heredity, it's not the environment, it's me, it's my will, and what I do choose to do with it.
Exactly.
Powerful.
And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today, is the ability to choose. So there is absolutely nothing that you and I are stuck with, okay? That even though I might, it was this morning as I was reading this over again for about the umpteenth time, I said, well, here I am telling myself that I am a person who is naturally prone to depression. Well, and I realized that by defining myself that way, I'm continuing to create that as a reality. Do I want to continue to create that as a reality? Now again, here's where it gets a little bit twisty. right? Defining myself that particular way is fairly comfortable because I'm used to defining myself that way. It's rather risky to say, I am a person who experiences joy and bliss every moment of my life. Because my mind immediately is going to jump and says, well, no, you don't. I'll prove it to you. And it will, okay? But see, this goes beyond the mind. It goes beyond the thought process.
To me, in my personal journey, it's all about awareness. If I'm not aware of it, I can't do a damn thing about it. And it's amazing how many times I've lived with something for years and been completely oblivious to it. And finally, when I become aware of it, then I can do something about it. But I wish I had a magic answer as to how you become aware of it.
Well, I read the book again, okay?
Absolutely.
I didn't realize I was going to become aware this morning, okay? But I did. It pissed me off a little bit, right? Because it wasn't the kind of awareness I was looking for. The story goes of the student who goes to his teacher, his guru, and says, Master, what must I do to become enlightened? And the guru said, awareness. And the student said, yeah, but awareness. Yeah, but awareness. And see, what's really interesting about that is because your soul, because my soul hungers for that it's going to be pretty much like the guru. It will speak to us very softly first, and then a little bit more loudly, and a little bit more loudly, and a little bit more loudly. Kind of like, you know, getting your attention. And if you're like, I'm going to say it again. If you're like me, interesting, huh? If you're like me, you have to get hit over the head with a 2x4. Well, that's not necessary. If I think it's necessary, it's going to be necessary. Yes, sir?
I had a very simple one of those realizations several years ago because there were two things that I said a lot about myself. I'm terrible at remembering names, and I'm really bad at directions. And I completely stopped doing that. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because those are two things I hear a lot of people talk about. And, you know, I started saying, I'm really good at remembering names, and it takes me a while sometimes, and sometimes I will say the wrong name, but I never tell myself again that I'm bad at remembering names, because then I'm locked into that.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to chime in before we attempt to do a paragraph in the book? Yeah, John.
Well, I was reading over this I think it's one
He's
going to
read the book for you.
Somebody's got to do it.
It was a quote that I heard from you somewhere along the line. It said, unless you know you're in prison, you can't get out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just popped out at me while I was reading.
That's a famous quote by the mystic Gurdjieff. He said, you have to realize you're in prison before you can get out. Mm-hmm. And that fits with what we've been talking about thus far, so far this morning. Jim, you got some?
Just basically, sorry, I don't want to say what I am. It's just this awareness. The whole I am, it just resonated with me. Mm-hmm. Because I walked in here and said, I have this whatever, you know, there's just symptoms that are kind of moving through my body right now as opposed to I am. whatever. So that's just important, the whole awareness thing, just the I am, wherever I attach to it becomes, you know, my reality. So I'm grateful for that. Thank you.
Jerry, what if you're stuck in, what if you're aware you're in prison,
but yet what?
Like the bars.
Like the bars.
Okay. I used to like the bars too, okay? Talk about being in prison, all right? um, That's a beautiful, beautiful question. As we began this morning, as I mentioned, the thought that came to me, and I always consider those to be group thoughts. I don't say, well, this is mine and that's yours. If something comes to me while we're working together on that, I feel like it's sort of a group consciousness that's contributing to this somehow or another. And that is that I need to be, and I know we've touched upon this some other times, but I in order to be able to grow or to transform, I need to be able to embrace myself where I am. Or actually, what I'm talking about there is, I need to be able to embrace myself where I perceive myself to be. And recognize that that's probably not the truth, but it is a limitation. So I perceive myself loving my prison. All right? But see, I wouldn't even be on that particular level unless I was aware enough to know that. And I say, well, okay, here's where I am. Is that where I want to be? Now, my mind can take me up to that place. And here's where my willingness and my intention begin to take over. I am willing to move out of my prison. My intention is to move out of my prison, but I still love it in some ways, or I'm still attached to it in some ways. So I get in touch with my willingness and my intention, and I allow that, just by its very nature, to begin to take over. I don't sit and say, well, am I still sitting in the same spot? I recognize that what I'm doing is I am kind of handing it over. I am surrendering this over to spirit, my spiritual nature, which I know its fondest desire is to be free. And I'm not pushing myself to go any further or going. It'd be like trying to rush through grieving, okay? We can't do that. You got to kind of take it as it comes and work with it as it's there, and know that eventually down the line I am going to reach that point of acceptance or surrender or letting go, and being okay with that. None of us, it is only the mind that thinks I ought to be someplace other than where I am. Here's where I am, but I should be over there. Now again, here's where it gets a little bit twisty. That's still just my perception, which comes from my intellect. My perception is telling me this. I realize that because I am aware that I am in prison, even if I am in a prison of my own making, in a prison that I like. Okay, it was like Augustine said, oh Lord, make me chaste, but not yet.
But Jerry, in all actuality, you're not in prison.
No, but again,
it's just perception.
It's my perception, but what I want to be able to do is, through my willingness and through my intention, allow my perception to transform. And then my mind's going to say, transform into what? Well, I don't know what that's going to look like. I am open to whatever this is going to transform itself into. Yeah.
Can that be?
So, this is my journey and the whole discussion of awareness. To me, the journey to awareness, in my humble opinion, is the easiest part of the work.
Okay.
I mean, that's to me, that's just tipping your toe into the water. And so when you're talking about, so you've got this awareness and, you know, well, I like when Ryan said, well, I like these bars, I don't know, my first reaction to that is, you're lying to yourself then. You're not really, that's bullshit. Because I feel like I can sit here in awareness and be like, well, you know, I have this awareness and I don't want to be here. How long, you know, and I just got to wait for the right time to move out of, you know, to do something about it. Where, I guess what my question is what is the fine line between not being really honest with yourself that you don't like it? And to me, the real work comes when you have the awareness and you decide to do something about it.
I think that's a really good point. Did you want to add something else? Okay.
No. It's okay, Brian.
Oops.
We had this discussion at home all
No, I think it's perfect practical spirituality. I think what awareness eventually does is allows me to be uncomfortable enough in the prison of my own making that I want to move out of it. Okay? If I am aware enough, I'm not going to be able to stay in that place any longer. Okay? It'd be like if I hope that this particular image is not too far out, but as you well know, you know, I talk a lot about addictions, sometimes my own, right? When I broke through, or when the breakthrough occurred and I became aware of the destructive nature of the addictions to alcohol and drugs that I was involved in, and probably many other things as well, is fairly soon after that awareness came to me, I could no longer be comfortable doing what I was doing. All right, it wasn't working anymore. It'd be like they say in AA, you know, if you come to an AA meeting, all right, we'll take the fun out of your drinking. All right, so it's kind of like once you become aware, the fun you might have been having, or convince yourself you're having in whatever is making up your prison, the more aware you become of that, the more uncomfortable you're going to be with it. It's a little bit edgy, okay? But I think awareness does by its very nature is it pushes us into action. If I just say I'm aware and I'm not doing anything, like you said, I'm kind of waiting for something to happen, I'm really not aware. You know, I think I'm telling myself I am. But again, to quote Augustine, he said, "You have made our hearts restless, and they will never rest until they rest in thee." In other words, when I become aware of my spiritual restlessness, that my perception of myself or where I am is a limitation, when I become aware of that, then I really begin to become aware of what my goal really is. My goal really isn't just to do this or to do that. My goal is to be in oneness. My goal is to be in complete alignment with spirit.
But isn't that a process? Like, I think for some people, it's like you become aware and then you make the change. For me, I become aware, I make several mistakes, mm-hmm. I find myself going back to old patterns, I beat myself up, I become aware again, and then I do it again, and then I come to Sue's class and I cry about it, and mm-hmm. we all say I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, and then, you know, I mean, it's a process because there's a comfortableness in repeating what you've always been taught.
Oh, definitely. And we're going to get into that if we ever get to the book. we'll actually get into that this morning, okay? But you're definitely right about that.
But I don't think it's bullshit. I think it's some people take longer to get there, and that's okay.
It's the dance of the seven veils, okay? Wow. It's not just the dance of one veil, all right? It's not, okay, I ripped this off and I got the truth, right? Because as much work as all of us have done with ourselves or on ourselves, right, we are still in, as you said, in process. I will be in process probably till the day I die. Right? I will be letting go of some of these perceptions of myself. They will become maybe more and more subtle as life goes on. But any way I'm defining myself is always going to be somewhat of a limitation, right? Now, one of the reasons why I shared the story of what happened to me this morning is to realize that, you know, I've been working on this thing for God knows how long, you know, and all of a sudden here's another one. I go, oh, crap. I wonder what else is lying under the bed, okay? And that's part of it as well. So as it's also being okay with that. It's rather paradoxical in the sense of what we're doing here is it's we're getting away from defining ourselves any way at all, because all of the definitions that we have or had for ourselves are simply a limited form of perception. And recognizing that I don't even know where all of those are. There's probably going to be more I need to work on. But at the same time, because time itself can be a limitation, at the same time I am not defining myself so much, I am claiming the definitive truth of who I am. I know who I am. Now, I don't recognize that knowing all the time, but there are certainly times on Sunday morning or other times when I repeat those words to myself that I do know, and I know that I know. Now, my thinking mind says, well, how do I stay in that knowing the rest of my life, all right? Well, it's kind of like it says in the rules for life, okay? You will forget all this, and you'll make a mistake, and you'll do it again. But when we do it again, and do it again, and do it again, and remind myself, or fall asleep and wake up, fall asleep and wake up, fall asleep and wake up. When we do that, every time I become awake again, every time I become aware again, I am aware on a little bit more of a deeper level than I was before. And so I say, okay, Jerry, that's all right. It's like Jack Kornfield used this image as part of meditation, but I think it applies to being awake and being aware. Is our mind is kind of like a little puppy, and it's going to go wandering off, and we pick it up and we put it back on the papers, you know? And that's just the way it works. When is he finally going to get? I don't know when he's finally going to get it, right? But I don't beat up the puppy. Puppy's just being a puppy. I just pick it up again, put it on the papers. And I accept that as being part of the, that's part of the shtick, that's part of the journey. Yeah, Jill?
I've got two or three things to say here. you, in the beginning of what you were just talking about, you said that you may always be in that process until you die. To me, well, that's not what you said, but to me, when I quit with those processes, I will die. I mean, it's part of life.
Okay.
It's part of life. The thing about the mind, just yesterday in meditation, Kathleen talked about the mind being a child. And to release things, you have to love it. You have to love every bit of it. Mm-hmm. You got to love that negative part. You got to love that part that you don't like, mm-hmm. to get through that. So, and the other thing I wanted to say was, in the Eagles song, sometimes it happens that we live our lives in chains and we don't really know we've got the key. So there you go.
Thank you.
Margo had her hand.
I got it. One other.
You better.
Give her a word in edgewise. The first thing you mentioned, I really heard it when you said that about being in process. See, that's a little bit tricky too, because that's another way I have of defining myself. And what this book does in some ways, what this teaching does, is bypass that. And say, what would it be like if you let go of the fact or the idea that you think you're in process, and that you, what would it be like if you knew that you already know? And as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, is, you know, we call this the book of knowing and worth. And when you know your worth, that's when it's cooked. That's when it's done. Yeah.
For me, awareness means choice. When I become aware, then I know I have choice. And choice to me is freedom. However, choice also requires responsibility. And I know that sometimes responsibility is scary to people.
Oh, that's an interesting
You might make a mistake. And the truth is, we're all going to make mistakes. We don't have to be perfect.
There are no mistakes.
Perfect is a detriment to growth, I think.
Jerry?
Yeah.
just to add what Marco said, ever since I was young and started playing music in the VFW and places like that, I was around alcohol and smoke. And one day we took a break, one night we took a break, and I went back to the kitchen with the band because we wanted to get away from the smoke. And I said something to one of the members, I made a little joke, but he didn't act the way he should have acted. He was belligerent. So I left the kitchen. And I got to thinking about that. Well, what's up? Then I said, oh, he's been drinking. Somebody has slipped him a drink. And all of a sudden, he's not who he was. He's somebody else. And I decided then that, wow, I wonder what I'd be like if I drank or smoked or just did anything. Then I visualized myself going down Market Street in New Albany and hitting somebody and possibly injuring them or killing them. And I made a choice to do this. So I made a choice then to not do this stuff that would possibly change my reactions and my choices and my mind with drugs and so forth.
And see, I made a choice in the totally opposite direction.
Right.
Because I didn't want to be who I was. Or I didn't like who I didn't like who I thought I was.
You know, about 2 years ago, you know, I woke up one day, I lost a 30-year marriage because of all the bullshit that I had done. And I didn't want to be who I've been for 56 years. And I hear people talk about awareness and journey. So I finally had the courage to change who I am. But I noticed in that journey and that awareness, I would get hit by a 2x4 in the head, and it was constant. Because old patterns, I mean, my God, I had old patterns just popping up constantly. But so 2x4s would hit me and hit me and hit me. But you know, you wake up one day from that awareness and that journey, and that 2x4 is not hitting you in the head no more. And that's when it feels really good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Beautiful point. Yeah.
In our process of spiritual awakening, we begin to discover or become aware who we truly are. And even though some old behaviors or old patterns of thought and behavior might still be present, we begin to recognize they don't define me, or they no longer define me. Paul and the guides say this: how do I live in infinite choice? Where do I go when the map I have called to me for the rest of my life no longer serves me anymore? Well, I'm a dysfunctional child of an alcoholic family. Or I'm a survivor of whatever it is you survived. To me, that's a limiting definition. You're much more than that. How do I stand in my knowing when my authority is questioned? When the rules that, this is a great question, when the rules I believe were told to me for a good reason may only be there to get me to behave. Who do you think you are, young man? We're on the middle of page 120. Now you ask yourself these questions and you lie to yourself when you pretend you don't know the answer. You know who you are. You are an aspect of the Creator manifested in form, and the decision to be this in actions, in words, in your deeds, will claim you in your worth as the one who may know what she needs. Say that again. You are an aspect of the Creator manifested in form. And the decision to be this in actions, in your words, in your deeds, will claim you in your worth as the one who may know what she needs. What is infinite worth but a true statement of each man and woman as they are designed and protected by the light that they are? Next paragraph is more about Paul We didn't say too much about us. So I'm going to skip over that one. The designs you have held and known as your own have been agreements you have made with your history. The contracts you have signed, the decisions you made to be this way or that way, were agreements you made born in your history. Now, why do you want to do this all the time? Why do you claim this for yourself? Why do you bring this upon you again and again? Because you think you must, and because you do not know that there are other ways to be. Now, if you want to lie to yourself and tell yourself that you are not in choice, you may go back to bed, you may go back to sleep, you may stay there. There is no reason to read further. But if you can align to the possibility, there it is again. Well, I think I'll align myself with divine truth. Good luck. But if you align yourself, can you align yourself to the possibility? That's all it's asking of you, aligning yourself to the possibility. Ah. Even my mind can think, well, it might be possible. Can I be free? Can I be less angry? Can I be less fearful? Can I let go of my anger? Can I let go of my fear? Can I let go of defining myself that way? Well, I can be aware of the possibility of that. I might not even think it's true. I might not even think it's real, but I can recognize the possibility. But if you can align to the possibility, each and every one of you, that you stand at the precipice of great change, infinite possibility, the moment you are willing to relinquish who and what you thought you were supposed to be, to become who and what you are, you will see that the cliff that you stand on the edge of is a launching pad for the rest of your life. If you can align to the possibility, just take this in, and I will too. If you can align to the possibility, each and every one of you, that you stand at the precipice of great change, of infinite possibility, the moment you are willing to relinquish who and what you thought you were supposed to be, to become who and what you are, you will see that the cliff you stand on the edge of is the launching pad for the rest of your life. You each choose this, you know. You crawl to the cliff and you expect an arduous climb. Things are only as arduous as you make them. And if you don't want to climb, and this is a great line here, if you don't want to climb, allow yourself to be lifted. I mean, what do you think prayer is all about? What do you think surrender is all about to divine will? That's just another definition of prayer. Allow yourself to be, if you can, because, you know, my ego thinks, well, it's going to be really tough, it's going to be really arduous. Here's my ego trying to be enlightened again, which it can't be in the first place.
What?
My ego can.
Oh, okay, got it. Got lost.
And you each have choices, you know, about who and what you are and how you live your lives. Let's take a minute with that, okay? It's kind of heavy duty. So if you wouldn't mind putting your stuff down for a minute. Close your eyes, take a breath. Something or some things might have gotten stirred up for you this morning. You might be very aware of a pattern of thought or behavior that you use to define yourself. Or you might just sort of vaguely be aware of something sitting on the edge of your comprehension and not quite there yet. where you might be a little bit befuddled about all of this, knowing that there's some place I want to go, but I'm not quite sure what that is. And you might be somewhere in between all of those parameters. Doesn't matter. What would it be like if you embraced your perception of where you are at this moment, like you would embrace a child or a little puppy you are training? And notice it is the divine self that is who you are, that is embracing lovingly this perception or this thought of limitation. So when we say, what would it be like to embrace this child, this little puppy? It is the divine self that you are that is embracing and loving your perception, your limitation of where you are at this moment. And when you allow that to be, in the midst of that embrace, everything else just seems to disappear. All of the shoulds, all of the have-tos, all of the I-wanna-bes just sort of gently fade into the background. When you're ready to, you can just take another couple breaths, stretch a bit, you can open your eyes. Is there anything you want to add to that before we move on? Yeah, Jamie.
I just want to thank you for allowing us to explore ourselves and to think and hope. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yes.
It would be foolish of me to try to add anything to that. Seriously.
You can always quit earlier.
Actually, we're supposed to quit right now, but I never do. I will set a, I won't say a, set a goal for myself. I will work on being open and being aware this week to patterns of thought and behavior that no longer serve me. That might have been, and might still be hidden away for a while. Some of those subtle ways that I have used, or you might have used, to define yourself. And I will not try to change them, pull them out and start beating them up with a stick, That's what I usually tend to do. I know what I'll do. I'll change. I'll beat the hell out of this, and it'll really change. Right? All that happens is I've got to beat the hell out of myself for a while. I will just allow myself to be aware of it. And I will, the image that I like to use sometimes, I will take it to the altar. The altar is the place of sacrifice. Sacrifice doesn't mean it hurts. Sacrifice is to make something holy. So I say, here is a pattern of behavior that has been somewhat self-destructive for me and no longer serves me. May the divine in me and the divine with me, may it make this holy. May it make this sacred. I don't know how that's going to work, but may it make this sacred, and for that I give thanks. And for you I give thanks. Have a blessed week.
Thank you.
Do we have to move the chairs?
Yes, if we wouldn't mind moving the chairs up front. Thank you. Okay.